We have such a gracious God, and He loves giving gifts. The greatest gift was His Son when He suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. But He continues to give us gifts. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. But I'm amazed to find out that so many people don't know what their spiritual gift or gifts are. God might have given you more than one spiritual gift. There are three different lists of gifts in the Bible. The miraculous manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and then the ministry gifts of Ephesians 4. But the ones we're focusing on for this sermon series are found in Romans chapter 12. So I invite you to turn there with me to Romans chapter 12. We began this study last Sunday morning when we looked at the first of those seven motivational gifts in verse 6 of Romans 12. And we're continuing today for the second of those motivational gifts, and that is the gift of service, or it might be called the gift of ministry, depending on what translation of the Bible you're reading from. But we want to look today at that wonderful second gift of service. And you might be asking, why am I doing this sermon series on the gifts that are found in Romans chapter 12? First of all, it's in the hopes that you might discover what your motivational gift or gifts are. Some people have several motivational gifts. And when I use that word motivational, it's to speak to the fact that when you have this gift, it's your motivation for doing work on God's team. You know, this is a team we have here at First Baptist Church. It's a wonderful team, and it's a part of God's bigger team, which is the universal church. And God puts different people on His team with different gifts that they bring to the table and make us more effective in doing God's work. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then we're not all that we could be. We're not all that we should be on God's team here at First Baptist Church Noonan. And so I hope that you'll find your gift. And then once you learn your gift, I hope that you'll learn how to appreciate people who don't necessarily have the same giftedness that you have. Now, that's another reason for this sermon series, because a lot of times we tend to be a little less than patient with people who aren't wired the same way we are. And so I hope that we'll learn how to understand and appreciate and celebrate other people's giftedness, even though it might not be the same as our spiritual gift. You know, this last week I was watching a PBS interview, Charlie Rose with Bill Murray. It's funny how being snowed in will change your television viewing habits. And I don't normally watch anything that Charlie Rose does, and not a real big fan of Bill Murray. I don't consider him to be a fountain of wisdom. But it was very interesting in this interview as Charlie Rose was asking Bill Murray about the different roles that he has played. And this comedian actor talked about all of them. And somehow they got onto the subject of what is the most difficult role that he had ever played. And he had this to say, the most difficult role that anyone could play is themselves. And I think that's true. I think that's a very wise statement. That's the hardest job in the world, is just being yourself. And I run across so many Christians who aren't happy with who they are. They don't like the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given them. They wish that God had given them maybe another spiritual gift, one that someone else has. But that's not very mature. We need to recognize that God has made us just the way He wants to make us. And He's given us the spiritual gifts that He wants us to have to make an impact and an influence on those people that we come in contact with on a daily basis. You might be asking, well, how can I discover my spiritual gift? I don't have a clue what my spiritual gift is. Well, this sermon series might help you. I pray that it will. But friends can help you. You know, you'll sit there and you'll listen to this sermon today, and you might not see the attributes of the gift that God has given you, but the person sitting next to you, they'll poke you in the ribs and say, hey, that's you, that's you. And sometimes our friends know more about us than we know about ourselves. They can lift up a mirror to our face and show us who we really are, who God has made us and how He has gifted us. Sometimes it's just experience. just doing something through some ministry here at this church that gives you a clue as to the gift that God is giving you. There's also all kinds of surveys and tests and analysis that you can take out there. We've got several printed copies here at our church. There's several online spiritual gift tests that you can take that take no longer than 5 or 10 minutes and will give you a detailed profile of what your spiritual giftedness is. And many times these profiles will show you how intense you are in all 7 of these spiritual gifts. And they'll focus maybe on the top 2 intense areas of giftedness in your life. And I've taken many of these profiles before online and printed, and I always come back the same way. And so this sermon series might just be an affirmation for people who already know what their spiritual gift is, and it just confirms in your mind, yeah, this is the way God has wired me, and this is the place that He has for me on His team. It's for this reason that these motivational gifts in Romans 12 are sometimes called team gifts. And so you're on God's team if you're a believer, if you've trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, and you have the wonderful opportunity of using your giftedness in this local body of believers and in His kingdom at large. Now, I'm following the same 3-point outline on all 7 of these spiritual gifts. In each one of them, we're going to look at the ability itself, and then we're going to see the attributes of the person that has that spiritual gift, and then we're going to look at the abuses that the person that has that gift can perpetrate. Yeah, that's right. God can give you a gift, just like I could give you a gift and you could misuse that gift. I could give you an iPad or an iPhone and you'd have internet access, and you could use that internet access as a gift from me for something really good, or you could use it for something really bad. And so let's make sure that we're using the gifts that God has given us in the way that He wants us to use them. Well, the first point I want to make to you is about the ability itself of the gift of service or ministry. We read it there in Romans 12, verse 7. He's already talked about the gift of prophecy in verse 6. And now he says ministry, or your Bible might say service. What is this ability of service or of ministry? Well, it's the supernatural ability that God gives you. It's a supernatural spiritual ability and not a natural talent. We've seen all kinds of natural talents on display here today, and they have blessed us. We've seen musical instruments. We've seen people using their voices, and these are natural talents that a person receives when they are born. And we're blessed when someone has a natural talent for singing ability and playing the guitar like Kristen. But it's even more of a blessing when she, as a believer, combines that natural talent that she received at birth and combines it with her spiritual gift, a gift of encouragement, a gift of exhortation that ends up blessing all of us. And so that's how natural talents combine with spiritual giftedness to bless the church and people outside the church at large. Well, what is a definition of this gift of service or ministry, depending on what it's called in your copy of God's Word? Well, it is a real simple definition. It is the ability to minister to Christ by meeting the needs of others. That's right. Your ultimate objective is to minister to Christ. That's what Paul said in the book of Colossians. We're not doing it because you're looking at me and because I'm a man pleaser and hoping that you'll notice what I'm doing, but you're doing it because you're a God pleaser. You know that He's watching you 24 hours a day. And so you use that gift that He has given to you to minister to Him by how? Ministering to the needs of other people. That's what the gift of service or ministry is. Now, I want to stop at this point, and I want to make sure that you understand me, and that is, every believer is called to be a servant. Do you understand that? Whether you have this gift of service or not, you are all, as Christians, called to be a servant of God. You know, I look around the church today, and I'm not just talking about First Baptist Church, I'm talking about the church at large, and there's pretty much a celebrity mentality that is driving so much of what is happening in churches today, and very little of a servant attitude. So many Christians are more interested in glamour and glory than they are in humble, Christ-like service. And I think that's why so many people do not see themselves as a servant. Well, if you're a Christian, God has called you to be a servant, whether He's gifted you in that way or not. But then there are that special category of Christians that God supernaturally gifts with service and with ministry, and how grateful we are for them. You know, we look a little bit further here in Romans 12 and verses 10 and 11, and we'll see a tailor-made encouragement for people who have the gift of service or ministry. You know, last week we talked about the gift of prophecy, and I told you how verse 9 and verse 12 is tailor-made encouragement for the prophet. Well, verses 10 and 11 is a tailor-made encouragement for that person who has the gift of ministry. Look at it there, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And so this is the ability of the gift of ministry or service. Now let's get into the attributes of that person that has the gift of ministry or service. And here's where you might start seeing yourself, or you might start seeing this gift in someone else who is very close to you. Let me begin by saying the first attribute is to love those who are in need. And this is one thing that distinguishes a person with the gift of service. I personally love people who have the gift of ministry. I have been blessed countless times by people who have this spiritual giftedness. And when I look at them, I see first and foremost that they have the ability not only to see needs, but to meet the practical needs of people. You see, this is the difference between a person who has the gift of ministry or service and someone who doesn't. If you don't have the gift of service, you might not even be cognizant of needs that are around you. You don't even get to the first step of seeing and noticing the needs of people all around you. But a person that has the gift of service, man, they're keenly in tune with the needs that are around them. But they not only see those needs, they go to the next step and they do everything within their ability to meet those needs. There's so many Christians that don't have the gift of service, they don't see the needs, and some who do see the needs don't take the next step, and that is to do everything in their ability to meet the needs of people. I see this gift of service at work all throughout our church. We have our AO house, and for those of you who are guests to our church, our AO house is on our campus, on our back parking lot back here. And it's where we have a clothes closet and a food pantry, and several days of the week, people who are in need in our community will come and they'll receive ministry. And the people that staff our AO house, many of them are people who have the spiritual gift of service, the spiritual gift of ministry. I had the blessing last month of going over to our AO house. And I was there a little bit before they opened and just saw how the workers there were busy as bees. There was Luke and Betty that were there ready to receive the people. And then there was Jeanette and Rena that were there in the clothing area organizing all the clothes and trying to get them organized according to sizes and whether it was a male's garment or a female's garment, and age-appropriate clothes. And then back in the last room, there was Lee and Clarence who were back there organizing all the food, getting it ready to distribute to the people that would come that day. And I walked out into the receiving area and saw several people there that morning. And my attention was drawn to a teenage girl that was there that day. She was there with her mother. And as I was speaking with her, she said that she had come that day because she needed a winter coat. Now, this was last month before any of our winter storms. And so that word got back to Rena and Jeanette in the clothes closet. And they had all kinds of clothes, several bins that hadn't even been unpacked yet. And as they just quickly surveyed, I even walked through there to see if there was some coat that would be appropriate for a teenage girl. And I couldn't even see anything that was close. But Rena and Jeanette were so intent on meeting this girl's needs that they dug through all those piles of clothes and they found precisely the coat that this girl wanted. I saw her later that morning, and she was grinning from ear to ear. She was so happy to have her winter coat. And that need had been met by those precious people, many of them who have the gift of service and ministry. I'm sure that over these last two winter storms that we've had, that teenage girl has just drawn that coat around herself and enjoyed the warmth and had thought about the precious Christian people here at First Baptist Church that ministered to her need. They not only saw the need, but they met the need that she had. You come up here sometime when we have our mobile food pantry once a month, where we literally have cars lined up around the block with people who are coming to get food. But not only food, but to experience the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at many of the volunteers who are there, members of our church, and you'll see many of them are people who have this wonderful gift of service that we're talking about today. And so it's a wonderful gift. These people see needs of others, and they see needs that people don't necessarily notice. They're sensitive to the likes and the dislikes of people. You know, when we look in the New Testament, we try to find examples of these different motivational gifts. We need to look no further than John chapter 6, where Jesus fed the multitude to see in one of the disciples the gift of service and ministry. His name was Andrew, and the need was obvious. There was a bunch of hungry people there that day, and Jesus said, "Feed the people." And Andrew was so in tune to the need of the hour that he had already spotted a boy who had a small lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I mean, who could do anything with that? But he knew Jesus. He knew the miracle working power of Jesus. And so he put together this answer to the problem with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gift of service and ministry was one that was wonderfully and miraculously used on that day. Now, let's go on and look at some other attributes that the person with the gift of service has. They have a joy in serving others when it frees people who have different giftedness to do what God has called them to do. Just as an example, there might be a prophet, and he might have several chores that he needs to do, and he can't get around to studying and praying the way he needs to for his message. And a person with the gift of service and ministry will see that, and they'll do everything they can to take some of those chores off of the prophet's plate so that he can do what he is called to do. A person with the gift of ministry just loves doing that. Here's another wonderful attribute of a person with the gift of service. They have a tendency to serve so much that they don't care how much it costs them personally, even to the point of draining themselves physically and emotionally. This is why we see so many people with the gift of service that are laboring to the point of absolute weariness. And they're not considering their physical well-being. In that, they're very much like the Lord Jesus Christ. He never thought about himself. He gave all of himself so that we might be blessed. And this is what we see in people with the gift of service. They have a difficulty in saying no. They have a variety of involvements. They're easily sidetracked. And they have many projects going on at the same time. I didn't meet this minister, but Amy told me about him when we lived in Florida. She had somehow or another run into a minister who had the gift of service. And he'd literally worn himself out physically. He just could not say no. And he had such a problem that he went to professional counseling because he was literally destroying his own personal health. And the therapy that the counselor offered to him was to each morning, this isn't a joke, this is the way Amy told it to me as it was told to her by this person who'd gone to counseling. Each morning, this person who was so burned out with the gift of service was to get up, stand in front of the mirror, and repeat the same statement seven times each morning. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm sorry, I can't do that. And there's a lot of laughter in here because some of you have that problem. And some of you know people who have that problem. And maybe to be beginning tomorrow morning, first thing you need to do is to get up, stand in front of the mirror, and seven times repeat, I am sorry, I cannot do that. And so the person with the gift of service, boy, it's wonderful to see their self-sacrifice. But it also comes at a cost if they don't learn how to moderate that. Also, we see that the person with the gift of service is willing to use their own personal funds. In this regard, they're very much akin to the person who has the gift of giving, and we'll get to that a few Sundays from now. They go the extra mile. They go beyond expectations. They love putting finishing touches on a job well done. They may prefer short-term projects over long-range ones because they want to see immediate results. They like cutting through the red tape. And don't be surprised to see them go around committees and organizations just to get the job done. Which brings me to the third and final point about the person with the gift of service, and that is how they may abuse their gift of service. First of all, people who have the gift of service many times resent and complain about people who don't have the same gift of ministry. You know, Martha in the New Testament is a good example of this. We read her story over in Luke chapter 10, and in verse 40, she's having an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's complaining about her sister, who does not have the same gift of service and ministry that she has. Her sister instead is at Jesus' feet, just worshiping him. And so this is what she says to Jesus, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Tell her to stop worshiping you and do what I consider to be important. That is, according to my gift of service. We see this so many times with people who have the gift of service. They also neglect home responsibilities to help others. You've heard the story of the cobbler's children. He made shoes for everyone in the village, but his own children went shoeless. This happens so many times with a person who has the gift of service. They neglect their own home responsibilities and ministering to the needs of total strangers in many cases. They work beyond their physical limits. As we've already mentioned, many of them are burned out. Many of them are physically sick. Many of them are ill. Many of them are just emotionally drained. They're spread too thin because they can't say no. They go around authorities in order to get the job done. They're so results-oriented. They exclude others many times from doing an act of service, because they don't want to bother other people with the chore. They're unlike an administrator, which is a gift we'll talk about in a few weeks from now, who has the ability to delegate responsibility to other people. Many times a person with the gift of service would just rather do it himself or do it herself rather than to delegate that responsibility to other people. Also, we see that they're easily hurt when they're not genuinely appreciated. And this is why it's so important for us to express our thanks and our sincere gratitude to anybody that does anything for us, but especially to those people who have the gift of service and ministry. And then finally, they often offer unwanted and unrequested help to others. They just see a need, and without even talking to the person who is in need, they meet that need. This happened to me when I was a pastor at Fort Caroline Baptist Church in Jacksonville. As anyone knows that has ever watched me preach, I'm like a human rainforest. I would sweat in a meat locker, and there was a guy named Harold Saley at Fort Caroline Baptist Church. He'd sit out there in the congregation, and it just bothered him. I mean, it really concerned him to see his pastor being so uncomfortable and sweating. And so without ever speaking to me or any committee or organization in the church, he went out to the store. He bought one of these white clip-on fans that you can clip onto anything, bought an extension cord, rigged it up in the sanctuary, came into my office, said, "Come out of the sanctuary, I got something I want to show you." And he said, "I'm just so concerned about how uncomfortable you are, with how hot you are whenever you preach." And so he turned on this fan. It was clipped onto this beautiful walnut pulpit that we had, a glaring white fan there with an extension cord running. He says, "This is the answer to the problem." And I said, "Well, Harold, had you ever thought that's going to blow my sermon notes off the deal?" But what I was really thinking, that thing is ugly as sin. And our church isn't going to like seeing that cheap white plastic fan with an extension cord attached to the beautiful walnut pulpit we had. This is what a person with the gift of service so many times does. They see a need and they don't seek permission. They don't even seek advice. They go around organizations and committees in order to help that person in need. That can be an abuse of that spiritual gift. Well, I want you to know today, Jesus had all these spiritual gifts, all seven of them in equal proportion. And he certainly had the gift of service and the gift of ministry. And he is our role model. He's our example. When we see him taking a towel and a wash basin and washing his disciples' feet, that is a responsibility that all of us have, whether we have the gift of ministry or not. We see Jesus over in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, when he talks about himself and he says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is saying, I didn't come here for you to serve me, but I came to be your servant. I came to minister to you, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give my life in totality for you on the cross. Oh, friend, Jesus loved you so much that he gave all of himself in sacrifice at Calvary so that you could experience the most wonderful gift anyone could ever have, and that is the gift of salvation. You know, you might be here today, and God is speaking about the need of a Savior in your life. You've never trusted him as your Savior, and today could be your day of salvation. You could say yes to Jesus. You, by faith, could receive his free offer of grace and walk out of this building with a broad smile on your face and with joy in your heart because you know you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Perhaps you're here today and God's speaking to you about another decision. Maybe it's to join the team. You recognize the spiritual gift you have and you want to join this team so that you can use your gift in this body of believers to make an impact in our community and around the world. The doors of the church are open today. If God's calling you to join First Baptist Church, I pray that you'll do it this morning. And it could be that you're here today and you've got a real physical need in your life. Maybe it's a physical ailment, or maybe it's just a need of some other kind in your life. And you just want someone to encourage you. You just want someone to pray for you. That's why this altar is open here. That's why I'll be standing right here, is so that you can come and that you can receive encouragement and prayer in this time of commitment. I pray that you'll do what you already know in your heart God wants you to do right now, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Oh, dear Father, how we just want to thank you today for the gift of salvation. And I just pray that if there's anyone here who's never trusted you, that today would be their day of salvation, that they would trust Jesus and receive his free offer of grace. And in doing that, receive the spiritual gifts that you have for them to minister on your team. Father, I pray for those that you're calling to be a part of this team. I pray that they'll come and join the life of First Baptist Church and use their giftedness for your honor and for your glory. And Father, I just pray for the hurting people that are here today. We might not ever know it by just looking at them to know how they're hurting and the physical and emotional pain they're going through. I pray that they would know that this altar is open for them today and that your arms are open wide to them at their point of need. So, Father, in this moment, during this your invitation, we pray that you would have your will and your way in our lives. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.